We're glad that you are here this morning. As has already been mentioned, we do have those who are visiting with us, and we're certainly grateful for your presence, as we always are. We hope that you'll come back and that you'll be with us anytime you may have the opportunity. And if you have questions about the work that is going on here, we certainly invite you to ask us, and it is an encouragement to us that you are present with us this morning. As I look out over an audience like this, as I say from time to time, most of what I'm looking at is a group of people who have already come to Jesus Christ, who have repented of their sins and confessed their faith in Jesus as God's Son and have been baptized for those sins to be washed away. And so in doing that, I see a lot of people who have begun the road, the walk that leads to heaven. But yet at the same time, as I think about that idea, we also realize that as we are going down that road, there come those times where we face discouragement and things that from time to time will get us down. And it very well may be that there are people who are sitting here who have had thoughts like, well, you know, I just don't know if this is worth it or not. You know, I just think that it may be time for me just to quit. I just don't know that I can continue doing what I need to be doing in order to serve God. And it very well may be that there are realistic possibilities that there are people sitting here who may be thinking about quitting serving Jesus Christ. It may be because of things that have happened to you that in a physical way that have caused you tremendous discouragement. It may be that you've been wronged by a spouse. It may be that you've been wronged by another brother or sister in Christ and just can't seem to get over what has happened to you. It may be that you've been a part of a church that somewhere down there split down the middle, and the hurt that was caused by that has led you to a point where you say, I just don't think I can continue doing what I need to do. We could go on and on. What I want to do this morning is I want to say to you that if you're thinking of quitting, you desperately need to reconsider. Because ultimately what you are thinking of leaving behind is something that I honestly believe is far greater than you can even begin to imagine at this point. And I beg and pray that you will reconsider. And what I want to do this morning is go through some of the reasons why. Ultimately, what you're considering abandoning, if you're considering quitting, is you're considering abandoning heaven. You're basically saying that you are going to live your life in whatever way you desire, and you are sacrificing the hope of eternal life that lays beyond for those who are faithfully serving God. And so we look at the idea this morning. If you're thinking of quitting, what I want to do is think about some things about heaven that should have our eyes focused on those things that are important and should keep us on the path down which we need to be traveling. And hopefully will inspire us, if we are thinking about giving up, to turn around and do those things that we need to be doing. If you're thinking of quitting, I would suggest to you that you need to remember that heaven, the path that we are traveling that leads to heaven, heaven means to us victory. When you begin to think about the idea of victory, it means victory over Satan. You know, ultimately, when we begin to consider the foe that we find ourselves facing, we are facing, beyond a shadow of a doubt, a formidable foe. He is a foe that has tremendous power and has the ability to deceive the hearts of people, and he does that on a regular basis. But we can have victory over that foe. Because what we have in Jesus Christ, and what we have as one who is a servant of Jesus Christ, is we have him on our side, and as we look at him, we see one who has already overcome, and now he is standing there willing to go to bat for us, as it were, to go to battle for us is a better way to put it. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. In Genesis 3, verse 15, we see a prophecy of what Christ was going to do to Satan, what he was going to do to this enemy against which we find ourselves in battle. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, even as God is declaring the punishment that will be placed upon mankind, in this particular case upon woman as a result of their sin, he gives this glimmer of hope and establishes what Christ is going to do to Satan. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. God, speaking to the woman, says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, but you shall bruise his heel." So here is God is laying down what is going to take place. He demonstrates beyond a shadow of a doubt that Satan's head is going to be crushed, as it were, by Christ.
Satan is going to be demolished by Jesus Christ, because Christ will ultimately win the victory over him. And now he is the one who stands prepared and ready to fight for us. I want you to turn over to the book of Romans and go with me to chapter 8. There are a number of passages that we could read that discuss this victory that we can have in Jesus Christ. But I want you to read with me from Romans chapter 8, towards the end of this chapter, a couple of verses that I think make this point very, very well. In Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 37, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says to them, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." The idea is this. Here we are, and we are going through this life, and as children of God, we find ourselves engaged in a battle. There's no doubt about it. But as we are going down that path, the time does never comes for us to quit and to throw in the towel, as it were. The time comes for us, when we are discouraged, rather to look to Jesus Christ as the one through whom we can attain to the victory that comes through him. We cannot fight the battle on our own. And if you are trying to fight the battle on your own, you will never be successful in that. But if you will fight the battle with Jesus Christ on your side, victory can be had. Not just victory in this life, but ultimate victory in heaven for all of eternity. If you're thinking about quitting, remember that heaven means victory. When we begin to think about heaven, we think about the idea that heaven means beauty. We could turn to Revelation chapter 21, and we're not going to do that. It's a rather lengthy reading. But in Revelation chapter 21, there is a graphic description of heaven and what it's like in that place. And what the writer does, what John does as he tries to describe this for us, is he gives us a physical picture that we can somehow relate to so that we can get in our mind's eye, as it were, what heaven is all about. And it's a beauty that truly is indescribable. As John is writing and demonstrating for us or relaying to us the things that he sees, he talks about a street of gold, pure gold, the most pure you could imagine. He talks about a city whose walls are made of jasper. He talks about a city who has a foundation of precious stones. He talks about the gates of that city being made of pearl. He talks about a river that flows from the throne of God that has the clearest of water coming from it. It is truly beauty that is indescribable. And as I said, the reason I think we are given these kind of descriptions is so that in some small way we can begin to relate. And so we look around us here, and what do we see? Well, we see some things that are pretty attractive. We look around us and we see the beauty of nature. We look around us and we see some things that we enjoy watching and we enjoy viewing and that God has made for us here. But he has also used those things that we can relate to here to paint for us a picture of a place that is far greater and far more beautiful and impressive than anything else we could ever imagine. And so we think about the idea of quitting. If you quit, you are sacrificing ever seeing the beauty of heaven. It's a beauty that you can't even begin to relate to. Maybe in some small way our mind can get a picture, but I dare say when we finally see it, that there will be no words that we could use in this life to describe what is there. And if you're thinking about quitting, and you are thinking about sacrificing ever seeing the beauty of heaven. When I think about heaven, I think about the idea that heaven means home. It's interesting to me, and this becomes more a point that is more established in my mind as time goes on, and I suspect many of you can relate to this idea too. But our happiness in this life is not really controlled by our material surroundings. I'll say that again. Our happiness here in this life is not necessarily controlled by our material surroundings. Our happiness in this life is controlled by being with the people that we love. And so as long as you're with the people that you love, it doesn't in many cases really matter where you are. Now, there are places that are more comfortable than others, obviously. But ultimately, if we really get down to it, what really matters is that we're with the people that we care about the most. I've related to many of you the frustrations that BJ and I are having with finding a place to live. We found one now. And you know, it doesn't bother me that where we're going to be is so much smaller than where we've been, and it's just in a different area and all of these different things. That part just doesn't really matter. Now, if I were having to move there by myself and I were having to leave BJ and Hallie behind and I knew that for whatever period of time I wouldn't be able to see them, it wouldn't matter if I were moving into the biggest mansion that the world has ever been able to build. I wouldn't be as happy as if I were with my wife and my child in the smallest of environments that we may find ourselves living in for the next period of time. Because ultimately our happiness is not controlled by that material surrounding. Our happiness is controlled by being with those that we love. And while we have just pictured for ourselves the beauty of heaven, and God does that for us through John, at the same time I think the ultimate joy that we will find as we enter into that heavenly abode is the idea that heaven means home. Heaven means a reuniting with those that we love. Heaven means being with those that we care about more than anything else that is material. I think one of the greatest joys of heaven will be seeing Jesus Christ. He died for us. He sacrificed His life so that we would even have the opportunity to be a part of that heavenly scene. And someday I'll get to see Him. And I'll be there with Him. And I'll get to thank Him for the fact that He offered His life for mine. Heaven is a place where we'll be with God. We will find ourselves bowing before His throne. We will see Him face to face. Something that no human can ever enjoy, as we are told in the Scripture. We'll be reunited when we arrive there with all of the redeemed. It'll be all the saved of all generations gathered in one place. And what a wonderful reunion that will be. There will be a lot of folks there that I don't know. But there will also be a lot of folks there that I do. And people that we may have loved in this life and cared about very dearly and longed to be with again someday, that event can take place in a far better environment. This will be an experience of a true homecoming. It'll be an experience of a true family reunion, as it were, where all the saved are joined together in an eternal environment. I would suggest to you that if you're thinking about quitting, you're risking the possibility of missing out on the greatest opportunity to go home that you can ever imagine. If you're thinking about quitting, you're sacrificing being with all the saved in the most beautiful eternal environment that can be pictured for us in human terms. When I think about heaven, I think heaven brings to us the idea, it means to us the idea of happiness. Ultimately, when we think about heaven, there's not going to be anything allowed there that would cause us any unhappiness of any type. I want you to turn with me to Revelation 21, because that's a point that is made for us as God gives us this picture of what we will be and where we will be when this life is over if we've been faithful to Him. In Revelation 21, I want you to read with me verse 4. The idea here is that the things that would cause unhappiness are not allowed there. They won't be there, ultimately. Revelation 21, verse 4. Read with me, if you would, this passage. In chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." We're talking about an environment where there will be no tears. There won't be the kind of things that we face here where somebody has some injury that causes them tremendous amounts of pain, or somebody faces the loss of somebody that they care about so dearly, and they deal with the pain that is involved with that for years. That kind of thing won't be going on. There won't be any sickness. There won't be any heartache. Nobody's going to die. There will never be another funeral to attend. There will never be another phone call that informs us that one that we have loved very dearly has gone on. There will be no separation, because heaven is a place of true happiness. It's a place of true joy and true bliss. It's a place where those things that cause us the pain and the agony of this life will not be allowed. And so if you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about giving up on entering into a place where true happiness can be found. When I think about heaven, heaven means the idea of holiness. All who are present in this environment and at this scene will be holy. We won't have to worry about being deceived ever again. We won't ever have to worry about somebody committing adultery ever again. We won't have to worry about an environment where it is just contaminated with the filth of the things that we see in this life. That will be gone. We'll never have to deal with the concept of guilt again. You won't have to worry about the crime rate. You won't have to worry about a child getting shot at school. You won't have to worry about murder. When we think about heaven and the idea of holiness, there will be no more lying. There'll be no more flattery. There'll be no more hypocrisy. We will not be in an environment where we'll have to worry about people misusing the name of God and the name of Jesus Christ in a way that is just so lighthearted and flippant, having no concept of what they're doing. We won't have to worry about that, because heaven is ultimately a place of holiness. If you're still in Revelation 21, read with me verse 27. Further description: but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Heaven is a place of purity. It's a place where truth will abound, and it is a place where love will be absolutely pure. It is an awesome scene. It is the greatest possible scene that we can imagine. It is a place where all of the things that bother us and concern us in this life and cause us to be so distracted, those things will be no more. And so we look at this idea and we say, you know, if you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about sacrificing the opportunity to go to a place that is better than we can ever imagine, where all of the things that distract us in this life will be no more. Ultimately, I think we would have to say that also heaven means eternity. When we begin to think about heaven, we're talking about an existence that will never end. I think about the song that Amazing Grace says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Just let those words sink in for a minute. 10,000 years. 10,000 years, and it's as if no time has even transpired. It will never be over. It will never end. It is a place where the victory, where the beauty, where the idea of home and happiness and holiness are ours forever. And if you're thinking about quitting, you're thinking about sacrificing an eternal home for something that is far worse. And so as we conclude this morning, I would express to you this idea. You can quit. God is not going to force you to do what He would have you to do. You can quit. But as you begin to look at this list, what a tremendously tragic mistake that would be. We must, if we're thinking about quitting, look at what we're giving up. you must realize that you would be losing all of this that we've talked about this morning for all of eternity in exchange for eternal damnation. You would be sacrificing the few short years that you have on this earth to prepare for this. You would be sacrificing those to spend eternity with Satan in ever flaming fire. And it's just as long as heaven will last. It's eternity as well. Unfortunately, the day that you decide to quit is the day that you forfeit all hope of eternal happiness in exchange for eternal damnation. There's no way that we can escape that idea. And ultimately, we must come to understand that eternity is a long time. And so, as we said at the beginning, please don't quit. But I also think that it's important to understand as we look at this concept that you cannot quit something that you haven't even begun. You can't take on something and leave something behind that you never began in the first place. If you're not on the road to heaven, you can't get off the road that leads to heaven. And so as I look out over this audience, I see people who have never even gotten on the road to begin with. And my challenge to you is, why would you sacrifice the things that we've talked about this morning? Why would you live your life however you may be living it here, whatever it may be that you would have to give up? Why would you not be willing to give up whatever that is so that you can enjoy the scene that we have pictured in our minds today? You can't quit something that you never started. But to those of us who are Christians, to those of us who have begun that road and who may have gotten off for whatever reason, may we realize we need to get back on. There is nothing that is so great about this life, there is nothing so great in this life that can even begin to compare with the eternal life that awaits those who are faithful. So if you've never gotten on that road, you need to repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Have those sins washed away as you're baptized into Jesus Christ. And rise up as one who now has begun a journey that will end in eternal life around the throne of God. And may we, when we get discouraged from time to time, may we yet never quit. May we realize that with Jesus Christ on our side, we can have and enjoy eternal life around the throne of God when this life is over. Don't do anything that would sacrifice that, because ultimately, that's all there is. And that's where you want to be. And if you've left that road and you want to come back, repent of your sins and pray to God and ask Him to forgive and begin that journey once again. We hope you'll come to Jesus Christ. We hope you'll stay on that road, and we hope for those who are sitting here who have never gotten on it that you will get on it and that you will do that right now as we stand up